You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight we have two people that are returning, one for maybe his fourth or fifth show, and another one for her second or third. It's not important how many they've done. It's just that they're great people with a lot of knowledge, and they happen to be a couple besides. We have Martin PQ with us. Welcome back to the show, Martin. Nice to see you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Elizabeth Falk is here. Elizabeth, nice to see you again. Much nicer than seeing Martin, actually. Welcome back. Elizabeth is the main reason that we're here tonight, because she is directing a production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And I'm sure I'm not saying that exactly correct, but we're going to find out what this is all about, because it's a little bit unusual. And a little bit about the background, first of all, for those of you that might not remember the shows we've done in the past, Martin is a conductor, musician, all around. Martin, you do just about everything, right? You wash cars and everything.
I'm getting slow on my car washing these days.
But you've directed symphonies in Russia and in Australia and all over the world, as well as the United States.
I just completed my 18th tour of Russia.
18th tour of Russia. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of some of Martin's credentials, but we're really here about Elizabeth. And Elizabeth has been involved with theater for over 10 years now.
Oh, at least.
Maybe over 20, maybe 30, but somewhere in there. And Elizabeth, why don't you just explain a little bit, if you could, if someone to walk up to you on the street or sit next to you on an airplane and say, what is it you do exactly? How would you explain that to someone?
Well, I am a stage director, and I know last week you had someone who talked a lot about what stage directors do. In this particular case, I'm directing fraternal twin productions of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. One is at the Wellfleet Harbor Actors Theater. We're opening on August 29th. It's in Wellfleet, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And then at the end of September, we will move for four performances to the Provincetown Tennessee Williams Theater Festival at Town Hall.
And, in Provincetown.
In Provincetown.
You can't go much further than that out on the Cape.
Right. And the last year, the guest of honor theater company was from Australia. Mm-hmm. And I believe the year before that, they were from France. So we're coming about 15 miles up the road from Wellfleet.
Now, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, when people think of that, they probably do what I did, and they remember the old movie. And I'm sure a lot of people's memory is a little bit vague about that. How did this come about? Why was this chosen? Did you choose it, or
To do Cat?
Yeah.
Actually, the artistic director of Wellfleet Harbor Actors Theater, Dan Lombardo, created a season. The title is something like "The Season of Women," and when I first met him, he said, he asked me, Have you ever directed any Tennessee Williams? And I said, no, I've played five of the women, but I've never directed any. He said, well, I want to do Cat this year, and I want it directed by a woman. And this was at dinner with Martin and my stepdaughter. And at that point, I just zipped my lip, because I knew if I said anything, it would be kind of blathering, you know, because every now and then you hear something you want to do very badly. And
it's one of those, let me check my calendar things, right?
Yeah, well, I'm busy. But anyway, I just turned to him and said, that's nice. And then he had a new Alfa Romeo, new to him, and he said, well, come back in the theater with me, to the theater. I want you to drive in my car. So in the car, he mentioned that another...
And I said, be careful. You don't even know him. You're getting into a sports car with
right.
him.
Right. And he mentioned a very well-known name, a woman director that the festival was talking to, and my heart sank. But I thought, I have nothing to lose, so as we pulled up to the theater, I said, Dan, I know once you get into the house, everybody will want you, so I just want to say goodbye. It's been a pleasure. And if it doesn't work out with the other director, I wish you consider the Memphis girl. That's me, because I know this turf.
There you go.
And then we entered into about a 6 or 8 week email correspondence. He just dropped me a note one day and said, what do you think about this part of this aspect of CAT? And we entered into a conversation, which I realized was a sort of long-term audition. And mm-hmm. then in October, he popped the question, would I direct it?
There you go. Well, we're going to have normally on Conducting Conversations, as our audience knows, we talk for a couple minutes and then we play a piece of music. And this is going to be a little bit different this evening in that some of the music won't directly relate to what we're doing, but it will have a direct relation. And that's because Martin is going to be involved with all of the music that is played this evening. And this first thing we're going to listen to is the fact that, Elizabeth, you want some music involved with CAT. And it hasn't happened yet, so we don't have the availability of that recording, but you brought along with you what's called a work in progress. Tell us about that, and then we'll listen to that.
As you know, it's not a musical. There will be incidental music at the top of each of the three acts and at the end of each of the three acts. But I decided to add a prologue, and I'd like to talk about that for a moment. There's a note from Notes for the Designer written by Tennessee Williams himself. And in reading that, and this became part of my dialogue with Dan, that he just loved where I was going with this. I think that's why I got the job. But I want to read this for you. This is actually in the words of Tennessee Williams. The set is the bed sitting room of a plantation home in the Mississippi Delta. Perhaps the style of the room is not what you would expect in the home of the Delta's biggest cotton planter. It's Victorian with a touch of the Far East. It hasn't changed much since it was occupied by the original owners of the place, Jack Straw and Peter Ocello, a pair of old bachelors who shared this room all their lives together. In other words, the room must evoke some ghosts. It is gently and poetically haunted by a relationship that must have involved a tenderness which was uncommon. This is the background for a play that deals with human extremities of emotion, and it needs that softness behind it. So that got me to thinking that Peter and Jack are mentioned a lot in the play. I wanted to bring them onto the stage for a prologue that I created, and I did the math, and Jack would have died in 1918 because the play occurs in 1955. So I started, it's all dumb show, there's no speech, of course. You have two men playing cards. One of them wins. They laugh. They rise. Maybe they're going to get ready for bed. But then they start dancing. And nothing steamy, just two people very comfortable with each other. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, Jack lurches. He's having a heart attack. And you'll hear this in the music. I ask for heartbeats, which Martin plays on a bass flute. It's very, very, with the valves actually clicking. You'll hear Peter stumbling to get Jack to their bed. He's frantic. There's music I call, what to do, what to do? Then Peter leaves the room. He rushes out. He returns with the servant who checks out Jack and shakes his head like he's gone. And then Peter is left on the bed in shock. And that's the end of the prologue. And then the lights will come up bright. We'll suddenly be in a hot summer day in August in 1955. And then you'll see the play proper.
And that's where most people would normally have picked it up.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to listen to that work in progress. Now, Martin, you are playing with whom on this?
I'm playing with
Nathan Lee.
Nathan Lee, who is the resident sound designer mm-hmm. of the What Theater. What is Wellfleet Harbor Actors Theater. What Theater.
Okay, I got it.
And who's on first?
I was going to say that. Third base.
But Normally, when a new play is going into production, music is lifted from. I mean, I shouldn't say normally, but often, music is lifted with pre-recorded tracks from there being something generic. But Elizabeth wanted to have because of the emotionality of it, she wanted to have the music this specific. Mm-hmm. So this wouldn't apply to any other production of Cat on a Tin Roof, and it is just being created for this production. There'll be other incidental music, but that will go, as I guess is your intent, at the beginning and the end of each of the acts.
Right.
There are
so we're
going
to actually listen to this work in progress. You'll actually hear Elizabeth giving some direction at the beginning of this, and then Martin making some comments and the other gentleman. And we'll listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more of Elizabeth Falk and Martin Picchio.
What I would like to hear is from the top, a couple of bars, just the piano in the ragtime mode, and then you come in. I think that's going to be...
Okay.
Like an intro?
Yeah, so come in.
You play two bars before me, and then I'll start at A? I'll start at the top, I mean?
I'll play four bars before you. And then.
Oh.
So I'm going to do the C, G, and then you come in with the next C. That's our B.
Okay. How about if I'm thinking, if you even played 2-5-7, 1-2-5-7, so that it's not the same thing we played.
Oh, sure. Let's take it from the top and see what that sounds like.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations, sitting with Elizabeth Falk and Martin Picue, and we just listened before the break to a work in progress from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof that is going to be, Elizabeth is directing on the Cape, and we'll get all those kind of details in a few minutes, but Martin was playing in that last piece, and Elizabeth, Martin has played quite a few places, quite a few times, and you know him pretty well.
Well, he just played at Watt Theater last week a concert called Jazzical Fusion. And by the way, he's got his Birdland debut coming up, Birdland, New York City.
Wow.
August 29th, this week.
All right. Martin, Jazzical Fusion. Now, I know we've had you on the program before. We explained it a while ago, but that was quite a while ago. Tell us about what it is.
I hope that's an original coinage, jazzical, but it's implying the mix, the fusion of jazz and classical music together. Mm-hmm. So, which is what we think has become a new genre, in that we're dealing with the written notes and with improvised notes. So in that way, for instance, since you heard the bass flute, there's a track on this our album that we performed, which is has the driving pulse of box music, which has influenced jazz to a large degree. And in our next fusion, we work through the Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, which is all written seamlessly into the wonderful jazz waltz by the Belgian composer Toots Thielemans, who's also a fabulous harmonica player. And this tune he wrote is Bluesette, a very famous tune. So we will take the tempos, and you'll see that the
meld
lilt,
them together.
Yes, meld them. In fact, it's such a meld that at the end we make a reference back to the Bach, and then if that's not enough, we end with a gospel amen.
What a deal. All right, we'll listen to that. It's a little bit lengthy.
I might say that my colleagues or partners in crime are Regan Rizik on piano, a sensational pianist from the New York area, and guest artist Ron Murray, a wonderful guitarist. So it'll be the three of us in collusion or collaboration, depending on
on how we like it.
Yeah. Thank you.
always. Interesting music that Martin brings us. And Martin, we didn't have a chance to listen to that whole piece because it's almost 7.5 minutes long in reality, but we listened to a portion of it. And if people would like to listen to the whole thing, they can do that by buying the CD, right?
What a great idea.
What a great segue, huh?
Yes, Mike. I would ask them to go to my website, which is www, and here's the hard part, spelling Martin BQ, but it's Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.
Yeah.
Here's the test, P-I-E-C-U-C-H.
There you go, so, P-I-E-C-U-C-H.
MartinPQ.com.
All right. And they can get directed on how to get your CDs, and we'll be listening for the rest of the evening to other music that hopefully we'll try to listen to most of those pieces. Back to Elizabeth and the show. And Elizabeth, there's a character called Big Daddy that we were talking about off air. Tell us about that.
I have really lucked out with getting the services of Keir Dulay as my big daddy. And
now, that name sounds familiar to a lot of people, I'll bet.
It really should, because he made the first big-budget science fiction movie called 2001, A Space Odyssey. I believe that was 1968. He was a gorgeous man in his 30s at that time. Now he's a very beautiful man in his 70s. And he's primarily a stage actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's best. I heard an interview. I checked online, and he was interviewed and said, "How do you feel? You're a serious stage actor, and people know you for this one science fiction movie." And he said, "At least they know me."
That's right. There you go.
So he's still got a beautiful, rich, dark voice. He's still got a lot of energy. In fact, in the July, the Brick, whose name is Stephen DeMarco, another very handsome, fine actor. Stephen and Keir came to our home in Stonington, and we rehearsed for 3 days intensively rehearsing one scene, a 52-page duet that they have. It's basically
52 pages?
Yes, sir. It's basically the whole second act.
Isn't it poetry?
It's poetry. Well, Tennessee Williams is poetry.
Right.
And a lot of people, because it's so familiar, a lot of people may not realize how hard this is. I think it's as difficult as King Lear, and I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And both Keir and Stephen, they didn't even want to have breaks. I mean, I had to enforce lunch on them because I needed the lunch. But back to Keir, I had seen him play Brick, the son's role, in Stratford and then again in Broadway, the same production directed by Michael Kahn of the Washington Shakespeare Company. And I never forgot it. So when I had a chance to pick my big daddy, I thought, what could be more interesting than Brick having grown up to be Big Daddy? And when I got in touch with him and mentioned this to him, he gasped. Because he said, I have wanted to do this for years. So
there you
have
go.
Him.
Things always have a way of working out.
You know, she's doing references to Shakespeare all the time. I think it should be noted that she's the very first woman to ever have directed at the Shakespeare Globe Theater in London after 400 years of male chauvinism.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
That's a cool thing. Between the two of you, you have so many cool things. We could do shows every week together. But we need to get to another piece of music. And Martin, track 10 on your CD is an interesting one. Tell us about that.
Yes. Peter Tchaikovsky is one of the of Russia's finest composers. I love conducting his symphonies and the passion and the beauty of his music, and particularly the love theme from Romeo and Juliet. I'm tearing up now thinking about it. But the dramatic and chromatic chord progressions seem to fuse a symbiotic bond with the really hauntingly poignant Matt Dennis tune, Angel Eyes. You'll hear some of the chromaticism written 100 years apart mm-hmm. from each other. But the Romeo and Juliet is certainly an arrangement because it's written for full symphony orchestra and we're playing it for saxophone and piano. But we're reading that, and then Angel Eyes is totally emotionally improvised.
We will listen to that now and then take a short break and be back with more. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Elizabeth Falk and Martin PQ. We're listening to Martin's music and listening to Elizabeth talk about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or Hot.
Hot.
How does a Memphis girl say that?
Hot.
Hot. All right. And Elizabeth, one of the things we
the temperature touched, just went up.
Right. Touched on a little bit was one of the actors, one playing Big Daddy. Now, the cast in general, there's Maggie, and why don't you tell us about some of the other people?
Well, first, I'd like to tell you about Big Mama, who is, of course, the wife of Big Daddy, and the actress I have is, in fact, the wife of Keir Dulay, and her name is Maya Dillon. It's M-I-A, pronounced Maya Dillon. Maya was nominated for a Tony for her performance in Crimes of the Heart on Broadway.
Wow.
Very, very fine actress, and you know, you can get into a thicket working with a married couple. One of them doesn't work, but they are both fabulous actors. And they are able to work very independently of each other, which is important because he's at her throat during most of the play. And I even ask, are you guys okay with this scene?
It won't carry over into real life.
I do marital therapy sometimes. You know?
The characters are at each other's throat, not
yes,
the actual
exactly.
people.
Right. And
you
then,
know, you sent a piece called... family therapy.
For when we were rehearsing on our terrace in Stonington with Big Daddy and Brick, there's a scuffle scene where Brick, who has his leg in a cast and a crutch, he's literally on the ground holding a chair to protect himself from Big Daddy, and Big Daddy's got the crutch over his arm. So I sent that to the rest of the company and saying, family therapy, just working out their problems.
There you go.
I'd like to mention about our Maggie, the title character. It was very important to me that the Maggie have a really deep sweetness about her, because if you have a beautiful woman on stage, as we saw in Broadway recently, talking about, frankly, what she wants, which is she wants to inherit the estate of Big Daddy, who's dying of cancer. This can really be a turnoff, and it was a turnoff in this production. And I saw this just about the time I was casting my production, and it was very important to me that I get a genuinely sweet actress. And I turned up the most beautiful woman. Her name is Madeline Lambert. She works out of Chicago. She works in Boston a lot. And she's absolutely got the most generous nature, and that's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a perfect Maggie, I think, for this time.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. And if people want to get tickets, they can go to your website, or information, I should say, not tickets, but they could go to your website. We already mentioned Martin's. Your website is what?
It's my name. It's Elizabeth with a Z, Falk with F as in father, A-L-K, .com.
All right, and they can get information as to what where the show is, and then they can get linked up with the theater and get tickets and so forth.
Yes.
So make a trip out to the Cape, and it'll be worthwhile.
Oh, and I should tell you our playing dates.
Absolutely.
Our first two previews are August 29th and 30th, so I won't be at Birdland when Martin's at Birdland, because he's August 29th. We open on August 31st and stay in Wellfleet through the 22nd of September. Then we move to the Tennessee Williams Festival in Provincetown for four performances over 3 days, September 27, 28, 29.
And a totally different venue. She's going to have to restage it for theater three quarters in
a
round.
Yeah, I have to go from a proscenium stage to a three-quarter thrust. So three-quarter round, sorry.
Where are we going to live? How are we going to stay up there for 2 months?
We're going to be on our boat, aren't we?
don't give out too many secrets now. You'll have all the, you know.
Our groupies.
Groupies will be
That will be a new experience for us. We've spent as much as 10 days on our boat before, but we're going to be liveaboards for 2 months and see how that goes.
Well, that ought to be fine. That ought to be great. Martin, we're going to go to another piece of music of yours off Jazzical Fusion. Mm-hmm. Tell us about number 12.
I'm glad you brought the number up. That's a great number. And this particular piece, I was introduced to, it's an American tune by Jeff Tysik called Florentina. And I came in touch with this when I was performing in the jazz club, the main jazz club in Venezuela. I loved it and brought it back with me. And it is added to our CD sort of as a bonus in that as we were recording with our guest artist, Ron Murray, we felt it might be fun for the three of us to try it. It was in my stand, in my folder on the stand, and we just did it for a lark. But we loved it, and we decided to record it. And I hope you love it, too. It has a sort of spacious and expansive quality about it, which reflects in the improv. It's on soprano saxophone.
Well, as usual, after listening to some great music and talking with two very interesting people, we are out of time. But, Elizabeth, I want to thank you very much and for coming and explaining a little bit about the show. I hope people can get up to the Cape to see it. And I know that this is kind of a landmark production for you. You mentioned off-air that the character in the show turns 65 during the show, right?
Correct. It's Big Daddy's 65th birthday. The whole play occurs on one day.
Okay.
Continuous motion. Act 2 picks up exactly where 1 leaves, and ditto 3 on 2. And this is the 65th production I have directed for the stage.
Wow. So having nothing to do necessarily with Cat, but just you're all together, all 65 productions.
Yes.
Wow,
it's
that's
opera,
amazing.
Shakespeare, theater, mixes of the two.
Weddings.
Right.
I count our wedding because we got married the way we met, on stage in an opera. So that's another whole show.
That sounds like a whole show in itself.
There it is.
And Martin, I want to thank you for coming by and providing the music for us today and explaining Jazzical Fusion to us and letting us listen to that CD. And good luck in Birdland. That's going to be a 5 o'clock in the afternoon performance on August
29th. It's a Thursday.
Thursday afternoon, 5 o'clock. So if you're able, get to the city and you want to catch Martin, you should go to the Birdland website and make sure you get tickets ahead of time because that place does sell out.
It does, yep. And fill up. And actually, if you heard it on the air here, come by and see me afterwards and I'll sign a CD for you.
There you go. So if you heard it on the air, I think he might even buy you a drink.
Well, we can talk about it.
I'll bet you they're expensive at Birdland, too. Anyway, thanks for coming by. And let's introduce his last piece of music, track 14, and then we'll get on with it from there.
Yes, track 14. Because I mentioned we had toured Russia last year. That was my 18th tour of Russia. Argentina gave birth to the tango in the early 20th century, and then the tango migrated across the ocean to Europe and then up to Russia. It went over to Europe in the 30s, to Russia during the World War II, and so this is not an imitation of an Argentinian tango. This is a Russian tango written by Grigory Kalinkovich, and this piece is written exactly for alto saxophone and piano. It's not a transcription. This is the way it was written. The one thing that we do to it is add more of the tango and dance feel to it. But mm-hmm. This is exactly as it was written, and I hope you enjoy this Russian tango.
Konzertnoy
tango.
Very good. Thanks again, Elizabeth. Thanks for being here.
Bye, y'all.
Great.
Bye, y'all. That's right in character with the show. Thanks, Martin. We will try to get all of this in if we can. If we can't, we'll listen to as much as possible. And then we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.